Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Going to talk all things around financial services and fintechs, essentially, that are providing innovative transactional solutions that we can use to make payments, to save, to transact, to send money. And Mama Money Card, having been developed in conjunction with Access Bank and Pick and Pay, has recently launched a new service offering that can be used via WhatsApp. Well, that's the context of this conversation, but we're going to take a look at the rise of fintechs overall and what they do mean to the dynamics of traditional banking in South Africa. Kokkie Kooyman, banking analyst and director at Denka Capital, joins us now for more. Mr. Kooyman, such a pleasure to speak to you.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me on the show. It's a very interesting topic and a very important topic. And maybe just to start off, technology has changed rapidly, and each year, this is an ongoing process, and I can recall, I think it was 20, 30 years ago, where we didn't even have cell phones, we didn't have mobile phones. Mm. So, and yeah, the mobile phone has been used for all different applications. And so on the banking side, the challenge has really been from smaller players, nimble players, who are quicker to come with fresh, innovative ideas, and specifically what we call client-facing ideas. The larger banks, because of, to a large extent, still what we call legacy hardware or information technology systems, which are big, find it, well, it's for them more difficult to react as quickly. Having said that, interesting, you catch me just at the end of a 2-day, we've been seeing a lot of the larger banks and the insurers and discussing obviously these topics as well. Mm-hmm. But it's very important that the smaller players are obviously, well, because their size, often they have one or two products. So they are innovative in let's say something like PayShap or something like with Pick and Pay now launching.
Yes.
But it is just one product. So a banking relationship offers a lot more products, and that's the advantage the bank has. The bank can offer you a credit card, a mortgage, vehicle finance. And make no mistake, the banks are spending a lot of money just making sure that their technology and their solutions and their interface with clients also very fresh and up to date. Just see Nedbank now. A Nedbank, as an example, has 7.2 million clients in South Africa, and have just finished an upgrade, or they will at the end of this year, the upgrade of their system. A lot of Nedbank clients might know the Avo app, but yeah, so each bank is very active in making sure that they stay relevant. But the smaller guys have the advantage. They can spot a niche where the bank is behind and write a solution. But for them to capitalize on that is very difficult over the long term. And so what we've seen internationally with players like Nubank in Brazil and Klarna in Sweden, and there's a lot of other, Revolut is actually a very good one, and Monzo in the UK, where the focus was more on lending products. And the problem with lending products is it's easy to lend out, but it's always difficult to collect. So what we found with those products, often the banks initially gained a lot of clients lending out money, but then thereafter battled to really through bad debts, and then the growth splurge stops after 2 or 3 years. So I think we've seen wave one with the fintechs coming with new products, but you know, now it's wave two if they can consolidate and use that to launch more products. But just bear in mind, technology is very expensive, and you do need large players behind even the fintech to fund that, because you're putting the capital in and you want a return on that, and yep, you know, it can't take 10 years.
And that's a valid point that you mentioned, Nkoki. I recall speaking to you back in the day when I was at MoneyWeb with Helicog, and we were talking about banking even back then. And there's been such an evolution in terms of the solutions that have come to the fore. But if we do take a look at some of the new entrants, more digital focused, if you look at Bank Zero, Time Bank, yes, and even Old Mutual, an insurance player with a wide scope in terms of customer access and database, also moving within to the banking landscape. I'm keen just to get your thoughts on their competitive positioning against the likes of the big four, Capitec and African Bank.
Yeah. So I think one you didn't mention if was Discovery as well.
Oh,
it's also
yes,
a very good example.
Yes,
but
true.
But let's first talk about Time Bank, Old Mutual, Bank Zero. And it's interesting, and then Discovery, because all of them all have a different niche. So Time Bank, very good systems, very good, came with an innovative way of very quickly allowing a client to open an account. They did a JV with Pick and Pay. We could go into a Pick and Pay, and they had booths there, and you could open an account, and within 5 minutes, you would have your card. It was initially just a deposit product. And they managed to get a lot of new clients placing deposits with them. But the important thing always in banking is to get primary client. Now, primary mm-hmm. client in banking terminology is someone who uses a bank for their check account and for specifically the salary being
yes.
paid in. So a lot of people will have four credit cards, four deposit cards.
Mm-hmm.
So Time Bank gained a lot of what we would call secondary clients, but not necessarily primary clients. So Time Bank still at this stage is starting to launch a lending product. We'll see how that goes. Time Bank, by the way, has done very well in the Philippines, or is doing well in the Philippines, where they have a similar arrangement with an equivalent of a Pick and Pay.
Mm-hmm.
But so Time Bank has got basically two products, and that will grow. But at the moment, very focused on the retail market. On Discovery went to a lot higher level. It went more for your middle class, and used specifically their health clients, and specifically Vitality, trying to get them to use the bank because of the reward system. And then getting Vitality clients and Discovery Life clients who then also use the bank app. So that's a middle class, and they've done very well, grown clients, still not the required number of primary clients, but... And still, again, it's a good example of how much it costs. I think is it 5 or 6 years later now? And they far out exceeded their budget, more than 5-6 billion rand spent, and they're still not profitable. So we're coming to Old Mutual.
Yeah.
Last. Bank Zero is very interesting. I've known Michael Yadon for a long time.
Yes.
Very innovative. He managed to get a team of engineers across, a bit like the bank in the UK, Starling Bank, did the same thing. They wrote a banking system from scratch. Michael and his team, Bank Zero, have focused just on what we call SME, smaller and medium enterprises. So, you know, smaller businesses who often have been neglected by the official banking, the large banking system. So Bank Zero, smaller SMEs, very good system. And Bank Zero, as the name says, charge no fees. A different discussion as to how they make profit. But again, are still in testing phase, but it seems to be going well. But again, a different market. And then finally, we get to Old Mutual. Again, a bit like Discovery, are actually trying to capitalize on their large life insurance client base and hoping
yes.
that those clients will, because they've got the data on those clients, so that they can convince those clients to then open an account with Old Mutual Bank. Again, initially it will be, I think, the lower end of the market, a lot of advertising. They're going to try and challenge Capitec. But as I said, with Capitec, with Discovery, with Bank Zero, a lot of money needs to be pumped in. Old Mutual, I think, are also going to see how much it does cost. And then you need very expensive people who can keep those systems alive and innovative and fresh.
Very true, and that's very necessary. I do want to come to two themes here. Number one, us as consumers, because at the end of the day, you and I are the banking clients here who make use of the services and the products that are being developed. Is there still appetite for us to, you know, I guess, have yet another option and new contenders in the financial services space? But beyond that also, the regulatory environment is also one that needs to keep up, right? Especially with the introduction of new fintech solutions to make sure that, you know, cybersecurity is all intact, never mind the regulatory controls that speak to the capital adequacy of the banks themselves. How do you see this playing out, Kokkie? And have we evolved and adapted correctly from a regulatory perspective so far?
I'm laughing because you formulated all the important questions and we could go on for 2 or 3 hours on
it.
But let me be... Yeah, but by the way, one thing I forgot to mention on the banks, and that's where Old Mutual has their advantage and Discovery, is that it is so important to have data on your clients. And so banks have huge amounts of data on their clients. So that reduces the lending risk. It also enables them to be proactive in making client offers. But let's say a Tyme Bank, which obviously now is, but still will have limited sight of its client and hasn't got the same, what we call rich data on a client. And so the less data you have, or let me say the other way, the more data you have on a client, the less the risk you are taking when you're offering them a product or making them a loan. So now we come to the regulatory risk. And the regulators correctly have really stepped in over the last few years, and the grey listing of South Africa also played a role there to step up even further. And so it's almost impossible these days to, or you can't avoid just being having to KYC, you know, the whole rigmarole, giving your proof of address, giving proof of ID, and then the pressure on banks to ensure that they are not facilitating money laundering, money being or crime. And the last thing, it's very important where the banks spend a lot of money is just on fraud and cybercrime. So, and that's why, you know, a smaller bank starting with all those challenges to being able to satisfy the regulator and able to protect its clients against data theft. You saw, I think, was it last week, even Standard Bank had a breach. All the banks, unfortunately, have breaches and they spend billions on it. So your question in terms of do we need another app? I think younger people tend to be more excited with new offerings and are willing to experiment. But the warning must just always be very careful as to, you know, make sure that you know, you follow all the normal protocols, making sure you don't give important information away, and that always be on the risk, on the lookout for, you know, possible crime, cyber crime of a very clever app, maybe impersonating a bank or impersonating an offer, getting your data and then misusing it. So, yeah, I think it's exciting that we continuously on the verge of new products, new developments, but be cautious as well.
Definitely need to be cautious. Kokkie, there's so much more we can explore and discuss within this realm, but really appreciate you making time for us this evening, sir. Thank you again for your time.
Absolute pleasure.
Thank you. That's Kokkie Kooyman, banking analyst and director at Denker Capital, helping us take a look at the growth and the rise of fintechs in South Africa, looking to ensure that you and I, as banking customers, essentially have a wider option of services to choose from.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.